before we get there, we're joined through a couple of COVID-safe panes of glass by Michael Jones. This is for Movies with Michael. How's it going, Michael?
Pretty well, Jared. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Thank you for asking. So,
excellent.
Of course, we've got a film review here. It was a good one. I sat down and I got through the whole lot yesterday. It was good stuff. What is it?
You've already told us it was good. Maybe I just need to stop talking right now.
No. We want to. You're so much more eloquent than I. When I watch a film, it's merely me just sitting in front of a film. Despite the fact that I studied film or did some courses at uni, I don't have the ability to pick them apart. Outside of, I like that actor. Oh, that was good performance. Wasn't mad about that dialogue. Exposition there, fantastic. Outside of that, I'm a goner. So I need you here to tell us a little more.
No, you don't. You've pretty much nailed it there as far as talking about movies on radio. I think I can just turn off my mic right now. Yes, this film is quite a good one. It's called Worth. And I think it's quite worthy of spending some time in front of the TV maybe this weekend. It stars Michael Keaton. Apparently, he's one of your favourite actors.
Yeah, of Batman fame.
Batman fame. Some of his earlier work includes Mr. Mom and Night Shift. Did you ever catch those films?
I haven't heard of it, no.
I think you should go into his catalogue.
All right,
look
I will.
At them. The Founder is also one of my favourite Michael Keaton films. Amy Ryan is also in this one. She was in Birdman with Michael Keaton just a few years ago. Bridge of Spies is another one she's been in. Another favourite actor of mine is Stanley Tucci. He's most recently been in films like The Hunger Games, Supernova, and he's in a film that I'll be talking about next week called Jolt.
Oh, I'm excited for that one.
Jolt. I don't know that you should be.
Okay.
Tate Donovan, Shinori Ramanathan, and Talia Balsam also feature. This film is directed by Sarah Colangelo, who's made films like The Kindergarten Teacher and Little Accidents. Based on experiences recounted in Kenneth Feinberg's book, What is Life Worth? Worth tells the story of Ken Feinberg, played by Michael Keaton, who was appointed Special Master of the September 11 Victims Compensation Fund back in late 2001.
Yep.
Basically, his job was to come up with an appropriate monetary figure for each victim to prevent the US government and the airlines from being sued for billions and thus crippling the US economy.
Yes.
Ken and his team, led by Camille, played by Ryan, and Assistant Priya, played by Ramanathan, they come up with a mathematical formula to determine how much each victim is worth and what they'll get. But unsurprisingly, the victims' families, led by Charles Wolfe, Stanley Tucci, who's a bit of an activist, they just don't go for it. And for a long time, Ken just doesn't understand why they're resisting.
And what happens next then, Michael?
What happens next? Well, maybe I should just tell you the whole story. Look, Ken needs to get 80% of these victims' families on board by the deadline, which is sometimes set in
18 months or something, I think.
Late 2003 was the deadline. And you just wonder, how's he going to do it? Because early on, the film establishes Keaton's Feinberg as a single-minded numbers man, or possibly even slightly autistic, obsessed with precision and punctuality and getting a deal done at all costs where neither party is too hurt by the outcome. Dry mathematical formula, solve all problems. And he's also a really poor communicator, which seems unusual for a mediation expert.
For someone familiar with the law, and for someone that from the first couple of scenes is an academic and sits in front of classes of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he seems so articulate in that
scene. He does.
And then there's another scene in the film.
He's forced to peace.
Yeah, he just craps himself. On the other side, there's Tucci's Charles Wolfe, who seems to be much more articulate and well-spoken. And it takes him and a few other victims to make Ken realise that there's much more to compensation than just a dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in this film, you sort of wonder how he actually goes about doing that, because we don't see enough scenes of Charles Wolfe convincing Ken Feinberg for mine in this one. Did the real Kenneth Feinberg really undergo such a moral odyssey whilst dealing with this case? I think probably not. I suspect Keaton's portrayal of Feinberg, thick Boston accent and all, is a slightly simplified version of a much more complex real-life man. Look, Tucci's Charles Wolfe is, of course, he's the catalyst for Feinberg finding his moral compass, but it would have been nice to see more of how he did it. There are a couple of pivotal scenes which are all very civil, which is kind of typical of Stanley Tucci's work, between Feinberg and Wolfe. But Wolfe was actually highly critical. I did a bit of research into him. He was highly critical of the initial offer of compensation to the victims. And he came up with many suggestions that were actually eventually adopted. But this film doesn't show any of the negotiations
That's a shame.
Between Wolf and Feinberg's team, which I think possibly could have made it a bit more interesting.
Yeah,
I
absolutely think. As well.
Look, if you are a fan of both the softly spoken style of Tucci and the more in-your-face sort of gruff acting style of Keaton, I think you'll find a lot to like about this film, which enlivens some fairly dry subject matter. It does start out as a legal procedural, but does eventually, I guess, evolve into a more human drama of a man learning to find empathy. Warning, there is a bit of grief porn in this film, so maybe have some tissues handy.
Yeah, so I'm an easy cry in films, yeah. and I blub it a couple of times, I must admit.
Look, but I don't think you can tell a story revolving around 9/11 without some of that stuff. You'll definitely find this film much more intellectually and emotionally stimulating than last week's Sweet Girl. And I'd say worth spending an hour and 58 minutes of your time.
I would think so as well. I did quite enjoy it. Similar to you, I thought some of the narrative arc was there for me. Some of the character development wasn't. Even similar to Keaton, in those first couple of scenes, he says this, and again, it seems like exposition of sorts, where it was to the effect of, it's just about the bottom line, anything to get to the point. It's to that effect, and he says it very vehemently, and you think, oh, geez, that's going to come back and slap you back in the face. And it does, but it doesn't slap. It more just caresses him with a wet piece of lettuce at the end. You think that's going to be the pivotal kind of shift of character. In any case, I don't want to poo-poo it too much because I did enjoy it. It's called Worth. And thank you so much for joining us this morning, Michael. I will just ask you while I've got you as well. I asked the listener before, I got some texts in. What's a film or a TV series that is part of like the zeitgeist? Everyone seems to know, whether it be a blockbuster stunner or a cult classic that you'd never seen, and you kind of had to tinkle around it in conversation with friends to not to admit that you hadn't seen it and seem like a philistine of sorts. What's a film that you've since watched during this lockdown period?
It's one that I still have to tiptoe around is Breaking Bad.
Never seen it.
Even my dad has watched Breaking Bad.
It is good. I must admit, it is quite good. I was saying before, last night I watched A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Which version?
I don't know. Which one? Is there a Swedish version?
There is a Swedish version.
I watched the US production. It was quite good.
I think you should watch the Swedish version. It does follow the book a little bit more closely.
Okay, I'll give that one a read. Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate your time as always.
Pleasure.
I'll speak to you next week.